We'll begin on Daf Vav Amud Beis. Vav Amud Beis, the top line. We're really continuing on the thing that we started seeing last week, that Hashem doesn't demand all that much in order to accept an invitation. We have 10 people decide to congregate in order to daven to Hashem. That's enough for him to come. Doesn't have very big expectations. But on the other hand, once you are a part of such a group, you go into a special category. You get closer with Hashem. When a person becomes a regular part of a group that congregate for Hashem's honor, if you are from the elite of Klal Yisrael who davens with a minyan, that puts you into an elite status. Hashem takes a special interest in you. And that's a very big privilege, and it comes with responsibility. So let's see. Omar Rovin Bar Avade, Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. Kol Aragil Lovo LeBeis HaKnesses. If a person regularly comes to shul to daven, Veloy Ba Yoy Mechon, and then one day he didn't show up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mash'il Boy, Hashem inquires about him, meaning Hashem checks to see what's with this person. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Mi bochem yirei Hashem shemea b'kol avdoi. Who is it among you who is a fearer of Hashem, who heeds the words of his servant? What exactly this means, we'll see soon. Whatever it is, we understand this as referring to a person whose regular practice is to come to shul to daven. So, who is this God-fearing person? Who, in this case, went to the place of darkness, where there is no light. Meaning, usually starts his day by getting together with Hashem, and today he skipped it. So it's called that he went off in the dark. And now the Gemara explains. Why does it say he went in a place of the dark?
Would he have been better off not been a
regular? Wait. So, we say that he went in a place of the dark without light. Now, isn't any place in the dark without light? Why does the pasuk stress it this way? The pasuk says, a God-fearing person usually is a part of Hashem's special society. And now, he went off in a place in the dark without light. Why are we stressing without light? Because the answer is, sometimes you might go off, skip coming to shul with light. Then Hashem doesn't have a problem with it. But if you go, skip coming to shul without light, then Hashem has a problem. What does that mean? So, im lidvar mitzvah halach, if the reason that he didn't come to shul today is because of a mitzvah, noigaloi, then he'll have the same light. It's not held against him. Why is this called light? Ner mitzvah. A mitzvah is a candle. So, if he went off with light, he went off for a mitzvah reason that he skipped coming to shul today. So, okay, fine. But if he just went off for some own personal reason, he won't have that light. And the pasuk continues, Yivtach b'shem Hashem, because he should trust in the name of Hashem. Meaning, night timer, why will he not have light? In other words, what we're saying is, if a person usually comes to shul, now he goes off, had something else to take care of, so he won't have that light, meaning he'll be missing Siyata Dishmaya.
He's doing it a little bit.
What's that?
Before sunrise, before dawn, he has to make it. He's going in darkness. He has to change something.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll see that. That concept. We said if a person went off for some dvarishus, if a person is an oinus, a person is an oinus. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a person who one day had a was in the mood of doing something else. No, he's davening shachris, but not in shul. Now, 1 minute. Let's see how the Gemara continues. Well, just a minute. Mishum da'avale v'toch b'shem Hashem v'loy botoch. He's going to have darkness, meaning he's not going to have the tziyata d'shmaya. Why? Because he should have trusted Hashem. You should realize that if you generally start your day off with Hashem, you'll have a better day. Generally, the way the Mefarshim understand this to mean is that a person went off for a business venture. That's how the place can generally understand this. A person went off for a business venture. We say that you should know that it was a mistake to go off without, to skip shul because of that. Go to shul, do it afterwards. What? Well, okay, so 1 minute. We'll put it into perspective. What? One minute. Okay, let's see. What exactly is the story here? So first of all, let's just understand what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is making a very important point. A person establishes himself as a person who comes to shul. He now is considered from Hashem's elite. He's from the closer people to Hashem. And therefore Hashem has higher expectations. That's the way it works. The closer you get to Hashem, the higher the expectations are. Now you say, oh, so maybe it's not a good idea to get closer to Hashem. That's like a person, what?
Give him a reward. We would say that.
Oh, that's right. It's like a person who says, I don't like to risk. I don't like to take risks. And therefore, I prefer to be making my pennies my whole life rather than make millions and sometimes lose a big deal. Once you get closer to Hashem, your whole life, you're closer with Hashem. Your life is a life of closeness with Hashem. And therefore, yes, when you're closer to Hashem, Hashem takes more notice of what you're doing. It's a privilege. Yes, sometimes you'll mess up with it. But in the big picture, it's certainly much more profitable to be closer with Hashem on a regular basis. Now, so what exactly is the pshat here when we say that he went off for his own personal endeavors? People are asking, what about a trip that you had to make? What about a business venture if you didn't have any other choice? So we already saw last week that the place can say that if a person stands to lose money, that does warrant skipping davening in a minyan. But if a person is dealing with a unique opportunity, again, not something that's going to make or break his whole financial situation. No matter, a person who won't be able to make parnasa without skipping davening in a minyan, that's not what we're talking about here. Some unique opportunity came up, and yet the place can say that it's very encouraged. This is not an easy thing, but it's very encouraged to stick with it anyways, to realize that I don't have to look to make extra profits at the expense of my relationship with Hashem. We saw the story of the Mishnah Berurah brought, right? About that Rav of Hamburg, who was on his way to shul when he was approached by some guy who was offering him a unique deal, a unique sale, and he turned it down. He lost the good deal, so that he was very happy about that. Again, it has to be taken in. It's hard. There aren't clear gedarim in this, but in a general way, what we'll say is the poskim in general say that when a person is in a situation where the deals that he makes may actually be what make or break his parnasa, so then yes, it's justified if there's no other way of approaching the deal to skip it tefillah b'tzibur. But when it clearly is a situation of extra gain, say you'll do better by sticking with your relationship with Hashem. Now, as far as catching flights and things like that goes, if the only way to make it, if there's a specific flight, and the only way to make it is by leaving earlier and there's no way you'll be able to make a tefillah b'tzibur, yeah, there would be justification for that. While again, it certainly is a righteous practice, which is not who knows how difficult, to inconvenience yourself a little bit. Now, we're not talking about completely skipping a trip, but to put yourself out a bit in order to arrange your schedule and itinerary around tefillah b'tzibur. Okay. So again, let's just, the main point that we should note from this Gemara is that again, once a person is regularly a shul attendant, attendee, then he's in a different status. He's in a status that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping a closer eye on him. In general, it's a situation we want to be in. Even if it means also that Hashem will note our slips. Okay.
That whole thing makes it sound like doing the show was sort of obvious. But then when you add the whole thing and dodging without a man, it's almost like really not considered dodging.
It's true. And at the same time, davening in the shul, it's not that it's optional necessarily. Well, actually, davening in shul and davening in a minyan is two different things. Here we're talking about davening in shul. Shul is considered, usually, davening in a minyan and davening in shul goes together. But it's really two different precepts, and we have to know, even though we usually do both together, you have to know what the special aspects of each one is. So here we're saying that, what's that? Here we're talking about davening in shul. But even if we'll say that it means davening in shul with a minyan, it's not a contradiction to say that yes, it's something that's close to obligatory, and at the same time, it does earn you a special relationship with Hashem.
You say from the opposite view. I thought that it's been said that if you don't daven in a minyan, you've done myself, it's not really considered davening.
No, not that it's not really considered davening. It's a much lower level of davening, and it's close to being an obligation to daven in tzibur if you can. Now, nevertheless, that's not a conflict to saying that if you do daven with a tzibur, you get special attention. We get special attention for doing things we're mechuyev to do. And this is one of those unique things. It puts you in a special status. The fact that you are one of Hashem's club. Davening, coming to shul every day, puts you in a special status with Hashem. What? It's more than a hider. Coming to daven shul with a minyan is more than a hider. Like we said, it's close to being a chiyuv, if you can. A chiyuv. Okay. What? It's basically a chiyuv, just that it's subjective, meaning that there are a lot of situations that might, whereas with Shmirah Shabbos, or davening three times a day, it's not subjective at all, unless you're mamish oynis. Yeah, there's more leeway. But if you can, you're mechuyev. Okay. Oh, no, say it. Oh, so when I say that it's close to being a chiyuv, I'm talking about davening with a minyan. Yeah, davening in shul is another story. Davening, you could call it a hidur, a strongly encouraged hidur, and it greatly enhances the tefillah. But when we're talking about what we're saying is close to a chiyuv, that we're talking about davening with a minyan, not necessarily in shul. But davening in shul adds a lot to your tefillah. With a minyan? No, davening with a minyan is more important than davening in shul. Yeah, if you have the choice of davening with a minyan outside of shul, or davening in shul by yourself, davening with a minyan comes first. Davening with a minyan is more important than davening in shul, if the two cannot go together. Because like we said, davening with a minyan is basically a chiyuv. Davening in shul is strongly encouraged, greatly enhances the tefillah, but we would not call it a chiyuv in the same way. Okay. When can a person forego? If a person is weak, if he stands, he faces a loss, or other such things. Okay, now another Gemara along this theme of the expectations that you enter once you did designate a place to daven, and you did designate a place for Hashem. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, B'shah Shakadosh Baruch Hu Bo Beveis HaKnesses. And this is already a bit scary. When Hashem comes to a shul, V'loy Matzo Bo Asara, does not find 10 people there, meaning it's davening time, and this is a shul where there is a minyan that gets together, and Hashem comes and doesn't find the minyan there, Miyad Hu Koyes, V'yachol, Hashem is angered. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Madua Bosi Ve'einish. Why is it that I came and there isn't somebody there? Karasi Ve'ein Oine. I have called out and there's nobody responding. So here also, yes, we're seeing that Yishtachavu LaHashem Ba'adras Kodesh. Our whole function in life is getting closer to Hashem. But you have to realize that getting closer to Hashem, you have to act accordingly. When you're entering a king, when you're approaching a king, you have to behave accordingly. So yes, that is what life is all about. It's about growing closer to Hashem, which greatly enhances your privileges, but also it constitutes greater demands and greater expectations.
So now, when it is a minion that brings the Shekhinah, Hashem comes, what ties Hashem? What are we learning yet? Hashem comes anyway.
You have to remember carefully what we learned in the Gemara the other day. The Gemara said, we saw that. We even saw the Gemara say even more explicitly. The special thing about a minion is that once people have decided to daven with a minion, the Shekhinah comes before them. We've also seen that in the shul, once it's designated as the place of the Shekhinah is there all the time. But also, when a minion is expected to get together, the Shekhinah comes even before them. So therefore, yes, there's a certain responsibility here in the fact that you grew higher, the expectations rise. Look, that's how it is in life. Now, as you mature, your opportunities grow and your responsibilities grow. Can't say I'd rather stay a kid. They can't do that in spirituality either. I'd rather stay on the level of a 3-year-old. No expectations and no, it's all fake. Yes, you grow and the expectations grow and you meet the expectations and you grow even more and you get even more beloved to Hashem. So now let's see. Let's understand what's being said here. There's really two approaches as to understand this. What does this mean exactly? It says that Hashem comes to shul. If there isn't a minion there, Hashem is angered. Meaning it's a sacrilege to keep Hashem waiting. When exactly is that? What does that mean? Oh, so it depends on when the people made up to daven. So that's one approach. That's how the Goyen understands it. The Goyen says that it means that if people made up to get together as a minion at a certain time, when the Shekhinah hears that, the Shekhinah comes before they're even there. But, well, I don't know how much earlier, but the point is that when they made up to be there, they better be there. That's how the Vilna Goyen understands it. Made up a time. People made up. Shul schedule. We're going to daven at 7. The Shekhinah is there waiting at 7. And not to be there at 7 is considered a slight to the Shekhinah's honor. Let's talk about the story of the Shekhinah and the Zalman. What?
Not good to come late.
Not good to come late. And certainly, you know, it's one thing if at least there's a minion there. But when there isn't a minion, that's considered a special sacrilege. These people called the Shekhinah to come, right? Like you tell the God Lador, you want him to come be a son to get your bris. He shows up at the time you tell him, and you're not there yet. Right? Hashem is even greater than the God Lador. He told Hashem, we're going to meet at 7. Hashem is there at 7, and nobody's there. So,
doesn't know that it's Jewish time?
No. Now, therefore, there was Taka Soros from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he, in his son's yeshiva, the son's yeshiva is a very late, Reb Shmuel Auerbach, Malos Atar, it's a laid back yeshiva. It's not, there isn't really a rigid structure there. And the Rosh Yeshiva, he has no wife and children, Rachman Litzlan, his wife was Nifta many years ago and he has no children. He sleeps in the dormitory with the Talmidim. It's very, he's a very, very great person and the people there are on a different caliber. It's not a typical yeshiva. But whatever it is, Reb Shmuel. What's that? He has his own apartment in the yeshiva, but he's very much, like sometimes he'll be throughout the night in the Mismedrash. Like he's a part of the, could be that by today he's already older, it might be probably different. But I'm talking in earlier years. So Shlomo Zalman once came to daven with them in the yeshiva, and the time had come, and there wasn't a minion there. People were kind of, you know, yes, Reb Shmuel was there, maybe there were a few bachurim there, but the time had come, and people were taking their time showing up, you know, one bleary-eyed guy coming in every couple of minutes. Reb Shlomo Zalman got very upset. He said, this Gemara says we made up to get together to daven at 7:30. Rabbeinu Shlomo is there at 7:30 waiting. Well, you're going to keep Hashem waiting? That's what this Gemara is saying. That's the Goyin, and he's not. That's the Goyin's understanding of this Gemara, and he's giving us a more lenient approach. It's a little bit of a more stringent approach. I hope so. It's a little bit of a more stringent approach. The Meiri indicates a more stringent approach. He says, when you have a shul, which is designated for tefillah, as soon as Zman Tefillah arrives, Hashem is there waiting. It's a little bit of a more stringent idea. And therefore he says it's a simin ra. It's a bad simin for a community. Basically, in practical terms, it doesn't have an eitz minyan. That it's sacrilegious. That the time for tefillah is already there. Hashem is already ready and nobody's there. It's a little bit of a more stringent approach. Why? It can be. That's true. So I don't know. But the truth is, if we're going with the understanding behind each one, both are true. The truth is that it's actually, this is close to being halacha and shulchan aruch. I think we mentioned it in the past. There is halacha and shulchan aruch. One of the first sefer in shulchan aruch. It's tough because I don't know. Come to Eilam HaEmes, they start going through Shulchan Aruch with you. It's unpleasant to fall on one of the first ones. But I think it's the second or third sefer, maybe even the first, in Shulchan Aruch. A person should awaken dawn. Meaning that a person should be up before dawn, not be awakened by daybreak, but be there to awake daybreak. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. What's the idea of this halacha? What? Even then I find it difficult. And there are people who do it all year round. So, what's the idea behind this halacha? Now again, I'll say, practically speaking, the Paiskim already say that nowadays is different than earlier times. Earlier times, once it became dark, there really wasn't much to do. People are in bed. Today everything is different, and you have to set up your day according to the way it works. But this is, l'maisa, a very great value. What's the idea behind it? What the Paiskim explain is, demamish this idea. When the time for Shacharis arrives, Hashem is already ready. How fortunate are you if you are there waiting for Hashem instead of Hashem hanging around for an hour and a half until you show up. Okay, so again, when it comes to Vasikin, we can go with what the place can say, the Lamaisa, you have to figure your day in a way that's going to work. But the idea of this Gemara is clear. Yes, when you have something going on with Hashem, when you have a schedule with Hashem, when you have times made up with Hashem, you have to be respectful. That's all the Gemara is saying. You have to be respectful and you have to be a mensch. That's all. You said you made up a time, be there. The Shekhinah is there. No, that's something else. That's a person who usually comes to shul. As far as that Gemara goes, but nice, if you come to shul, you made it. Yeah. Okay. Now we move on. Again, really what these Gemaras are really trying to do is just sharpen our sensitivities a little bit to what we're doing when we're davening, what we're doing in shul. Now we'll see this taken another step. Amar Rabbi Chelboy, Amar Rav Huna. Kol HaKaveh Mokom L'Tfilosoy. If a person has a set place for his tefillah, Elokei Avraham be'ezroi, the God of Avraham will come to his aid. Meaning, we'll see soon that this is a concept learned from Avraham Avinu, and therefore, you invoke the special zchus of Avraham Avinu by following this directive, by having a set place where you daven. Okay, Shemais, and when such a person dies, listen to this. How do they eulogize him? Hey, Anav, what a humble person. Hey, Chassid, where is this pious person? Mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. He is a faithful disciple of Avraham Avinu. This is... so George is asking a good question. Does this mean a special place in Shul? Does it mean a special place in Shul? And I'll add a third possibility, which some of the Rishonim say. It's not talking about shul. It means if you daven at home, have a set place at home. Okay, we'll get to it. But first let's understand what's being said here. So, again, it seems pretty easy to earn the title of Anav, Chassid. Anav and Chassid, a humble person, a Chassid. These are from the highest Madrigas. But you have a set place in shul and that's it, you made it. The answer here is, like we've seen with many other things in earlier Gemaras, that it's the point behind it. It's the idea behind it that's the greatness here. And what is the idea? So first of all, we want to just start on a very simple level. When a person has a set place, it helps with kavana. It helps with kavana. Person is mechavin better when he's in a set place. Now, there's a little more to that. The truth is, this is a known idea, right? Counselors, meeting with people, or therapists, will often try to meet with the person in the same place each time. The more regularity you have, the easier it is to get places. The better the mind works than if it's always a different place. But the truth is that it's even more than that. The Rashba says, for example, that when a person designates a place where he davens, he starts relating to that place with more reverence. This is the place where I daven. And therefore, when he stands there, he feels that he's in a more special place. And his tefillah takes on a different quality. Or even more than that, the way the Vilna Gaon and the Maharal put it is they say, is tefillah something haphazard? Or is tefillah a very, very important part of your life? Haphazard means that, you know, whenever a tefillah comes up, wherever you happen to be, you kind of roll into the nearest possible appropriate place and you just daven. When you turn tefillah into a central part of your life, what that means is, no, I have a set place for it, I go there every day, I go there for each tefillah, I prepare myself, it's not just something I roll into, I treat it with a certain reverence. That enhances the tefillah itself. The more of an aura you can create around your tefillah, you create your own association. And that itself will enhance the quality of your tefillah. So, if a person can do these things, he will be a growing person. He'll be growing from his tefillah. Now the Ben Yehuda takes this a step further, Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai says, takes the idea of the Goyim, but he takes it a step up. Right? The Goyim and the Maharal say that the idea is, you turn tefillah into something anchored in your life. Right? It's got its place. You know that tefillah is something that your life gravitates around. Three times a day, you'll go back to the place where you daven. It's not just something that kind of rolls along in your schedule. My schedule revolves around my tefillah. Three times a day, I have to get there. I go to my tefillah. So the Ben Ish Chai says even more than that. He says it doesn't even necessarily mean, besides just the place itself, the physical place, it has a place in your heart. Meaning, tefillah is a regular part of my consciousness. It's not something that comes up by surprise three times a day. Right? Oh, it's mincha time. You know, many of us, oh, 15 minutes before shkia, you got to run to shul quickly. Tefillah hits you three times a day. The Ben Ish Chai says, no. It's got a set place in your consciousness. What is tefillah? You know what tefillah is? We'll put it on a little bit of a deeper level. Three times a day you daven. Where do we come from? We come from Shemayim. We come from the Kisei HaKavod. We were sent down here into this world for a mission. This is not the real world. Shkoya. This is not the real world. This is not our real place. Our place is... Know where our place is? The Maharal says, a scary thing. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, when he's describing how he saw the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory, he says, "Va'e'er al ha'kisei kidmus adam." I saw the form of a man on the throne. What does that mean? So Hashem has the form of a man? What does that mean? So the Maharal says, it's not referring to Hashem. Listen to this. It's not referring to Hashem. It's referring to the Jew. The Jew's place, the Jewish neshama, is kiviyachol, next to Hashem on the Kisei HaKavod. The greatest of servants, right, the greatest of Hashem's ministers, don't sit on his chair next to him. Who sits there? The family sits there. The kids sit there. Only a kid will sit on the throne next to the king. That's where we really come from. Now we're sent into this world for a quick little mission. Not very long. In the worst case, it's 120 years. Actually, I shouldn't say that. But Moshe Feinstein said there's no source for that. We'll call it 150 years. But that's as bad as it gets, generally. But when we're here, what are we here for? We're here just really to retain our connection with Hashem in a world where it's a challenge to do so. That's what sums up our entire function in this world. Just what we're in, when we're in this world, those 150 years seem like a long time. And it's a lot harder to keep in touch with that reality. So there, Rav Hirsch puts it is, at three times a day, we report back. We go back to where we came from. Three times a day. We don't spend our whole life sunk in this world. Three times a day, we report back to the Kisei HaKavod. We go back to the upper world. We detach from everything else going on. And we just reconnect. The person really, really believes that everything about this world is just to serve Hashem, then he should be able to detach and say, right now Hashem says, drop your job, drop your mission. I'm calling you back for a meeting three times a day. So yeah, a person has a special place for that. He has a special place in his heart for that. It's a regular part of my consciousness. The way Rav Hirsch puts it is, we live from tefillah to tefillah. Each time we go back to Hashem, so to speak, we give a report for what we're holding. We refresh our consciousness. We discuss the next step, right? What are you doing in tefillah? You're discussing the step between now and mincha. And mincha between now and ma'ariv. Ma'ariv between now and shacharis. So really, your place in this world is your tefillah. That's how the Ben Ish Chai puts it. In your heart, you have a set place for tefillah. And it's greatly enhanced by actually having a physical set place for tefillah. And I know that my life gravitates around that. Tefillah doesn't just fall into my schedule haphazardly. There's a set place. Every few hours, I report back. And that's how I run my day. Yeah. What's that? No, the Ben Ish Chai, I'm putting together what Rav Hirsch says with the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai basically says that what it means is tefillah is a set place in your heart. It's a regular part of your consciousness. I'm elaborating on that with Rav Hirsch. Now it's interesting, there's one more point here that kedai to take note of before we move on from this Gemara. This is something that the Tzlach adds. And the Mabit says something amazing here. He says that when a person davens in a certain place, he has established that place as a Mokam Kodesh. And therefore, the next time you daven there, it's not just your tefillah, but you also have the added merit of the fact of the previous tefillah, of the fact that now you're davening in a place that already has that Kedusha. Your tefillah is enhanced. Now your tefillah has even more power. If the words, you've enhanced the Kedusha of the place even more. Each time you come back to that place, it's enhanced even more. And enhanced even more. So you'll ask, so why do I have to daven in my own place? Why do I have to do? I daven in a set place in Shul. Someone's been davening here for the last 10 years. Why do I need my own place? But the answer is that no. What? You have your own. Oh, you have your own Hashras HaShechina. Sure, there's a general Hashras HaShechina. But a person creates his own Hashras HaShechina also. The Shechina is here for him in this place. Hashem designates this place. When you come and designate this as your meeting place with Hashem, Hashem designates that place as his meeting place with you. For Hashem, this is your warm spot with Hashem in this world. The Mabit takes it a step further. He says it's ad kedei kach that if you have a set place for davening, just walking by that place can bring you siyata d'shmaya. You just come to that spot. He says it's like a person who came to the king and made a request of the king. And the king says, I'll think about it, I'll try to take care of it. But the king's busy. There's a mashal, okay? The king's busy. If you pass by again and he notices you, he might decide to do it. So he said, that's how it works, kiviyachol. Hashem, it's not that he's busy and he doesn't remember. But this is a place where Hashem takes note of you. This is a special meeting place that you have with Hashem. When you have such a place, that place brings you exclusive even when you're not davening. We'll see soon. He reads that into what the Gemara is going to say about Avraham Avinu very shortly. We'll see. Are you going to say something? If someone else comes early and sits in your place, you have a schus by not making a big deal about it. But you actually see that there was one of the Amiraim said this is considered a very pious practice. It's not required al pi halacha, But according to this Gemara, we understand it. There was one Amar who said that he never went to the bathroom in a place where he davened. Now that means in earlier times, let's say he had davened one time outside somewhere in the field. There's no din that you can't go to the bathroom after that, afterwards in that spot. But he sensed the kedusha of that spot. I created kedusha here. He wouldn't go to the bathroom there. You can mamish be creating kedusha. You decide where you want your place with Hashem to be. Now let's see. He actually reads that.
Why is after this particular halakha does it connect in with when you die, etc.?
With?
Does it connect in with when you die? Why not the previous halakha, when you die, people will say this? Why, you know?
Well,
if you turn up for time, people will say, oh, when you die, he's a blessed.
Good. Let's see the next few lines. Then we'll get you're touching on something on a point that the Tzlach makes. Tzlach, by the way, is the Noida B'Yehuda. His Sefer on Shas is called Tzlach. Just so you should know who we're dealing with. So now let's see. How does the Gemara continue this? So we say a person who follows this practice is a true disciple of Avraham Avinu. He's following the example of Avraham Avinu. Where do we see this concept by Avraham Avinu? Iksiv. Sorry. How do we know that Avraham Avinu had a designated place for davening? Because it says in the pasuk, "Vayashkem Avraham baboiker el amokan asher omad shom." Avraham got up in the morning and came back to the place where he had stood. You know, Avraham Avinu, his takana, or his innovation, was shachris, right? So it says, after his whole tefillah with Tzlachim, it says that the next morning he came back specifically to that place. Why dafka to that place? And the answer is, Ein amida el tefillah. First of all, it says the place where he stood, standing, alludes to tefillah. Shenema vayamoy Pinchos vayispalah. As it says, Pinchos stood and he davened. And it says that Avraham Avinu made a point the next morning of coming back to the place where he had davened yesterday. We understand that that's the intent. He would come. You would make a point of coming to the same place every morning to do his davening. Now, if Jonathan asked, why here are we suddenly focused on his hesped? Isn't it enough to say he has the schus of Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu, he'll get the special siyata d'shmaya of Avraham Avinu. Why are we focused on his hesped? So the Tzlach says that we're always conscious of the fact that we don't have the schus of the avos. We have the schus of the avos, which continues after their death. Fine. But at the end of the day, the vacuum left by the avos is felt. And in the time of the avos, there was a very great siyata d'shmaya in the world, in their merit. Okay, now we were born long after they died, so we never actually experienced it. What we're saying is that when you have a person who takes on this practice, which is so closely identified with Avraham Avinu, he's actually bringing back a level of the special siyata d'shmaya that Avraham Avinu brought into the world. And therefore, when this person dies, it's considered a fraction, but a significant enough fraction, of the loss that we suffered when Avraham Avinu died. And that's why we're stressing this. But now it's interesting, Mabit makes a point. His point is, he actually infers this from the case of Avraham Avinu. What was the story there by Avraham Avinu? It says, makes an amazing observation. Avraham Avinu davened for Stoim, right? He davened that Stoim should be spared if they have the right merits, etc., etc., etc. What happens? Next morning he shows up. It says he came to the same place where he had stood, and the place was overturned. But right after that, it says that Hashem remembered Lot and took him out of the place. So the Mabit says that was actually that tzchus. It's not just the concept that we said before. When Avraham Avinu came back to that spot, even though his tefillah and stoim didn't work because they did not have the required merits, but that was already enough to invoke the merit. When Hashem saw him standing there again, he said, well, light I'm going to spare. So it's mamish that idea. Once you have a place where you daven regularly, that's a place where you have special hashkacha from Hashem. And just showing up at that place gives you that siyata d'shmaya. What's that? Basically, wasn't Lot saved because he didn't tell on Avram and Sarah? So, apparently it was both, because we do know there was also an element of he had to have his own merits in order for it to work, but he on his own wouldn't have warranted such a special salvation. Okay, so this is really l'maisa. We're seeing that this is considered a very chash of a concept of designating a set place for your tefillah. It brings you a special, individual, personal level of siyata d'shmaya, of closeness with Hashem. Now, how does this manifest practically? So practically, to be taken literally, it means, yes, in shul you should have a set place to daven. Not just a regular shul, but in shul you should have a set place to daven. The place can say that anywhere within the Dalai Lama is all the same thing. But then gives it that special chashivas, you have your set place to daven. And a place can note though, sometimes you have people who daven shachris in one place, mincha in another place, because that's what works for their schedule. Or weekdays they daven in one place, Shabbos in another place. Are they losing out on this concept? So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said no. This is already, see, similar concepts in earlier pleiskim. He said no. The idea is to have a regularity. If you have every day daven shachris here, every day I daven mincha there, every day ma'ariv over there, that's called having a set place. Or if you know, my weekday tefillah I daven here, my Shabbos tefillah I daven somewhere else. Or, in the summer months I daven here, in the winter months I daven there, that's called having a set place. The point is to have predictability, to have regularity. I know before each tefillah, I know exactly where I'm going to be. That gives the tefillah that chashivas.
If someone is in your makom kavua, should you try to
if it can be done b'dalkei noyam, why not? But it's certainly not worth making a big deal about. And again, keep in mind what the place can say, that anyway within the Dalai Lama's fulfills this precept. Okay, we'll move on. Omer Abichelboy, Omer Avunim. Hayotze mi beis haknesses, when a person leaves shul, al yapsia psiogasa, don't take wide strides. Meaning, don't run away. Don't be like a spring. You know, second shul is over, boom, you're off on a rocket. Now, Omer Abaye says, le'amon elo lemeipak. That's only when you're leaving shul. Avo lemeal, when you're on your way into shul, mitzvah lemirhat. Then it's a mitzvah to run. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, nirdifa l'dasas Hashem. We pursue, meaning we run fast to get close to Hashem. L'das, mean to know Hashem. What it really means is to get close. Omar Rabbi Zeirut. Okay, so that's as far as davening goes. Now we'll see the same thing. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Omar Rabbi Zeirut. What's that? Oh, coming up. Let's see. Omar Rabbi Zeirut. Now Rabbi Zeirut says, Meresh, originally, Ki avechazino lerabbanon dekarati lepirke b'shabata. When I would see Chachamim running to learn on Shabbos, Amina, I said to myself, Ka mechalin rabbanon shabata. They're being mechalil Shabbos. There's a halacha that you're not supposed to run on Shabbos. But when I heard what Rabbi Tanchum said in the name of Rabbi Yishua ben Levi, a person should always run to learn, even on Shabbos. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, they go after Hashem with the passion of a roaring lion. Anonami rahitne. I also run to shul to learn on Shabbos. So Nehemiah is asking, does this not conflict with the covet of a shul? So the answer is that it does. The way the place can put this down is, you run to shul, as you get right up close to the shul, you stop. There, you do the halacha that we learned earlier. You focus for a moment on the fact that you're about to enter the presence of the Shekhinah. Where the Arizal puts it down is you should tremble a little bit and you enter subduedly, calmly. You don't run in the shul. You run to the shul, but not in the shul. Now the Paiskim also add that if the situation is such that you're going to look crazy running through the street, guy's charging through the street, you know, waving his talis bag in his hand. So if the situation is such that you're going to look weird, don't do that either. When you get close to the shul, you speed up, even run a little bit, until you're right outside the shul, then you stop as we described, and you enter slowly. And the truth is that this is really halacha, an example of chitzaynius ma'ayos asafnimius. What's the idea of both of these halachas? You run to shul to show your enthusiasm, and you don't run away from shul so that it shouldn't appear as though you want to escape. What happens if you don't feel enthusiastic going to shul? You'd rather be in bed. You feel like schlepping. And what happens if you do leave shul feeling like, oh boy, finally it's breakfast time. That was a long davening. So, should I kid myself? Am I making shows here? And the answer is yes, you should kid yourself and you should make shows. Because chitzaynius ma'ayos asafnimius. You act as though you feel enthusiastic about going to shul. Realizing that you should be feeling enthusiastic about going to shul, that'll help generate those feelings. But again, it has to be with the realization, with the intent of wanting to develop those feelings. There are tons of halachas that we do on a regular basis which are really meant to engender inner feelings. Or even expressions that we use, Baruch Hashem, Emitza Hashem. These are things that are also meant to engender a certain awareness. Just people can go through their whole life saying Baruch Hashem and Emitza Hashem without it meaning anything to them. The point is, you have to realize what you're trying to do with these shows. Yeah, you're making shows for yourself. You realize what you're trying to do with these shows. But the truth is, it's also more than that. That's the way the Maharal puts it. That running is a display of kavod for the mitzvah. Running to do a mitzvah is a display of kavod for the mitzvah, as we'll see soon. That is a mitzvah in and of itself. The fact that you show that you're rushing to do a mitzvah, it's kavod for the mitzvah, that's in and of itself a mitzvah. It's an end in itself. The truth is that the whole concept of going to shul has a lot of value. Maharal says, I think Rabbi Malinowitz spoke about this a few weeks ago here in shul. Maharal says that the concept of schar psius, right? There's actually a halacha that says if there are two shuls, one further and one closer, it's better to go to the further shul in order to walk a longer distance to shul. And that also is meant to be factored in with many other factors, right? If you feel more comfortable davening in this shul, you don't need to do that. But the point is, the way the Maharal puts it is that going to shul is an activity of approaching Hashem. You should realize that when you're going to shul, each additional step that you take is an additional activity of bringing yourself closer to Hashem. And therefore, yes, if you go to a shul that's a block away instead of the shul next door, you are more actively drawing yourself closer to Hashem. The Paiskim even say, Tzeliezer says this, you're coming to shul in a car, park a little bit further away from the shul in order to have something of a walk. There's a special maila in the activity of bringing yourself closer to Hashem. Okay, we'll move on. Omer Rabbi Zera, Igre de Pirke Roat. A schar of coming to a shir to learn is by running to the shir. What does this mean? The schar of coming to a shir to learn is learning in the shir. Right? Isn't that the schar? Rashi says something of a scary thing here. Rashi says, most people, when they come to a shir, they ask them a few months later what was said in the shir, they don't remember. They're not really learning. What do they get schar for? They get schar for running to the shir. That's a little bit of a scary thing. It's a bit of a harsh Rashi. Okay. But if we want to take a little bit more of a positive approach, we'll say that no, what the Gemara is trying to stress here is we have to realize that many mitzvahs come with side benefits that you should take note of because they are achievements in and of themselves. When you're coming to shul to learn, yes, you're coming to shul to hear a shir, realize that the rushing to shul in and of itself is a mitzvah. It's something that it gives a much better feeling. So many times the preparation is just schleppy. you feel like the achievement is the mitzvah itself, the preparation is cumbersome. But you see that no, the activity of walking to shul, right, instead of figuring out, wasting my time walking, you try to figure out the minimum time to get to shul, and you rush out at the last minute and you run. Even though there's a mitzvah to run to shul, it doesn't mean you have to do it at the last minute. You can run to shul and get there a bit earlier too. But realize that that in and of itself, going to shul, is a mitzvah in and of itself. And similarly, Omar Abaye, Igre de Kale Duchka. Yalche Kale was when they used to have these big shiurim, when the Amora would give a shiur and everybody would crowd in. Many times it was very crowded. And you say to yourself, the shiur is great, but what a shame that it's so crowded. You have to realize that crowding in is an achievement in and of itself in two ways. First of all, it's a little rougher. That itself enhances the schar. But also the Netziv says, when it's crowded, that's greater kavodat Torah. Right? Look how the way they're crowding in to hear the shir. That's greater kavodat Torah. That is an achievement in and of itself. They spoke to Rabbi Victor Miller about expanding the shul, about expanding, you know, building out. So he named, I forgot which shir it was, one of the least attended shirim in the week. And he said, when this shir is crowded, we'll think about expanding. Omar Rove. Now Rove says,
maybe the water is even greater, because the only reason it feels crowded is because of the shade.
Sometimes if there are a lot of people there too, that will also cause it to feel crowded. Meaning, it's not that people don't make it feel crowded. Shading can make it feel crowded even when the crowd doesn't seem to justify it. But sometimes the crowd justifies it.
Okay.
Right?
As you said, yeah, the crowding is with the shading.
What that means is, again, it doesn't mean that if you have 100 people in a 15-person space, it's not the people who are making it feel crowded. It means that sometimes, even when you look around and you say, why do we feel so crowded here? It's because of the shading. But sometimes the crowd, there's a crowd. That's good enough of a reason for it to feel crowded. What's that?
Regarding the business of the shading, making it feel crowded, what's an opinion? What are we supposed to
say? That I already said when we went to Sugya, you can't ask me. Yeah. Maybe next round. Okay. Omar Rove, Igre de Shmaitze Svara. The schar of learning is the Svara, meaning the efforts you put into trying to figure it out. Sometimes you'll have a lot of trial and error before you reach the pshat. But you should realize that it's the efforts that you're putting in to reach the pshat that's where the schar lies. Don't say, what a difficult sugya, I'd like to stick to the easier ones. No, breaking your head is where the money lies. Okay? I have a few more of these, but we'll stop here for tonight.